This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast, produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. What is going on, Brother Marcus? Holiday season, man.
It's here. Already.
Yeah. You bought all your gifts?
No, but do you know Christmas is in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah. So you still have time, listeners, to get Marcus and I gifts and shower us with presents to express your gratitude for all this quality free program we have provided you with for nearly 2 years.
Shameless plug.
I wear a size 10 and a half sneaker.
So do I.
Yeah. So we will accept shoes because we're black. Wow. It's going to be this kind of show. I'm looking forward to today's show, Marcus. This week, we got some good stuff. We're going to be talking some NFL, a big week in the National Football League. We're going to talk about maybe one of the biggest stories in combat sports, and definitely the biggest story in combat sports this year. That is CM Punk signing up with the UFC, and we're going to have our ratchetness in segment four. But before we get into that, Marcus, you told me before we came on the air this week that you have a wrestling story, a funny story dealing with professional wrestling. So, you know, let's not keep all this goodness off the air. Let's share it with the people.
All right. So, friend of the show, John Murray, posted a link on his Facebook page over the weekend. And he was basically talking about TNA's new move to Destination America. And we have a mutual friend that I went to Hofstra with that he knows from the D.C. area who works for Discovery. So basically the post was saying, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, Discovery owns Destination America. You know, TNA Wrestling's coming around. And he was saying, I'm glad I would have to check out my homies, Montel Vontavious Porter, Kenny Lane, and the other stars of TNA Wrestling on Discovery's Destination America starting in January. So he posted that. And she responded, she said, whoa, because I don't think she was probably aware. And then John responded by saying, when they come to Maryland, no, I'm taking you to a live show. So I responded back to John, and I said, John, don't torture me like that. Now, this is where a certain TNA performer jumped in the Facebook conversation and took some offense to my comment. That TNA wrestler has three initials that he goes by.
Have we mentioned him in this conversation already?
We might have. Schmontel, Schmavius, Schmorter.
I've heard of him. He hangs out with Harvin Marison.
Yes, him. So he jumped in, and he said, who is Marcus Vandenberg, and why is he suffering from menstrual cramps?
Wow.
Yeah, so I was actually out when he wrote this. And I you know, John texted me and he said, Schmontel Schmavius Porter, Schmorter, he's going to kick your ass. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I checked the Facebook feed and I said, oh, okay. So I got back home and I responded to him and I said, sorry, I was out getting my doll. And said, would love to chat with you for Yahoo, the closer we get to the Destination America debut deal, question mark. And he responded, and he said, deal, but he said, I need you to explain the whole don't torture line. And I explained to him what I meant, and what I meant this time was that, you know, the way they've done the TNA tapings, for the average non-wrestling fan, that's a lot to sit through a TV taping, the TNA, the way they're doing it now with the double right. shows. So that's what I explained to him. I was like, my friend's not a wrestling fan, and I was explaining it to Schmontavious that it would be a lot for a non-wrestling fan to sit through a TNA taping. And he responded, and he said, you know, I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong, and I apologize, and all this stuff has been deleted. So he went back, and I didn't realize that he probably shouldn't be out here talking like that on Facebook. So and he basically apologized, and he said, you know, I understand tapings are a little slow for the talent as well. So, but it sounds like he's going to be down for an interview for work. So that was my interaction with Schmontavious Porter.
Very, very, very cool. So you know what the next step is after you secure this this interview for the good people of Yahoo Sports.
What's that?
You got to bring Schmontavious on the Kings of Sport.
Yeah, he owes me. He owes me one for for going after my menstrual cycle. It's very personal, Schmontavious.
That is funny. Who the hell is Marcus Vandenberg?
Yeah, that's not the first time someone's asked that question. So.
It could have gone a lot worse. We've seen wrestlers on social media, so that all things considered, I'd say that was a pretty good interaction.
And luckily, John was able to play peacemaker, because he was able to introduce and say who I was, and you know, so just to make sure I wasn't just some mark who was going after TNA. He sort of explained who I was. So, thank you, John.
Why are you always getting into fights with these light skinned dudes, Marcus?
Listen, I pulled a Tunawar for a minute. I felt proud. It's the life of Alpha Tunawa.
Like you got beef with Schmontel. You had beef with who was it? Genuine.
Oh yeah, that dude.
We can't take you around other light skinned brothers.
Yeah, there's only room for one of us.
Yeah. And on that note, it is time for, I was going to say America's favorite segment, but. Let's be real with it. You know, we're not going to pull the wool over our listeners' eyes. No. This is maybe our Canadian listeners' favorite segment.
Maybe part of Canada. Maybe like Starboro.
Maybe just G Hall. Yeah. Just UG. it's G Hall's favorite segment. It is time for Ask a Hockey Negro, a.k.a. Marcus Vandenberg's Hockey Minute. Hit the music.
It's time for the segment that's cooler than a polar bear's toenails.
Here's the puck for Seth Jones. Leg one for Jones. He scores! Seth Jones scores on the feed out of the left wing corner.
It's Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
All right. You're going to learn today.
The intro never gets old. It's a great intro.
Yeah, you know, I think it works. You know, it's one of those, you know, people talk about music and being able to identify something. Like when you first hear the notes of Ric Flair's song, you get a mental picture in your head mm-hmm. of the Nature Boy getting ready to come out. And when you hear that song, you're like, okay, that tells me everything. Thing I need to know about the next couple of minutes, he's black and he's talking about hockey.
Exactly
what it says on the tin. All right, so what you got for the Hockey Minute this week?
Yeah, so this week the Board of Governors meeting is going on in Boca Raton, Florida, and one of the topics that came up in discussion this week was expansion for the city of Las Vegas. Las Vegas is building a new arena that I'm sure we talked about on the show that's opening in 2016, it will be an arena that will be equipped for an NBA team and an NHL team with the proper suites and whatnot. And so the NHL is trying to get in the building first before the NBA makes a splash into the city. So now we're at the stage now where the NHL has not agreed to either expansion or relocation, but they are allowing the city of Las Vegas to conduct a season ticket drive in order to sort of gauge the interest in the city. So this is the first step to really getting a team in a new city. And, you know, personally, I've spent a lot of time in Vegas, and I do worry about the city being able to host and support a professional team, just because, you know, you figure most of your employees are associated with the service industry of some sort. Most of those employees work in evenings. And, you know, they don't make great money. And for you to be able to attend an NHL game or an NBA game, you got to, you know, spend some money. So I do worry about the long-term health of any sports franchise in that city. But would you go to would you go to Las Vegas to watch an NHL game or NBA game of your favorite team?
Yeah, obviously not an NHL game. I mean, let's be real, Marcus. But an NBA game, yeah. And I think that was very interesting to hear Adam Silver's comments, the commissioner of the NBA, what was it, a couple weeks ago? Talking about the prospects of an NBA team maybe being in Las Vegas someday. Of course, you're going to get the age-old argument for not having a team in Vegas, and that is the gambling aspect of it. But I think that your reasoning for why a team might not be sustainable long-term is probably a more important reason than the gambling thing, because let's be real. I think gambling is something that within the next 5 to 10 years is probably going to be much more accepted, as, you know, we've seen a lot of these sites pop up. If marijuana could be legal within the next 10 years, gambling probably will as well. So I think that's almost a moot issue in some respects. But the financial aspect of that location, you know, I do think that it comes into play. And let's be real, you know, we talked about it when we discussed the Atlanta Hawks, you know, and some of the problems that they've had, and their ownership group coming out and talking about the demographics of people that attend the games. I don't know if Vegas would be the place to sustain an NBA franchise. I mean, I love the idea, and it'd be great as a one-off event, maybe for like an all-star game or something, but do you really see a franchise being able to, especially an NBA franchise, being able to sustain itself out in Vegas?
It would be really tough. So I don't know if the NHL would do better. I think, you know, just based on the popularity of the two leagues compared to each other, I think NBA would do better. But I, you know, look at the UFC show this past Saturday, where you had two title fights, a pretty solid card from top to bottom. That show did less than 10,000 at the Mandalay. And yeah, it's apples and oranges. In order to compare UFC to professional sports like NHL and NBA, but if you're drawing 9,000 fans to a pretty big show on a Saturday night, do you expect? I mean, I expect the same thing. When you figure 41 home games a year, that's going to be a lot to get fans to show up on a regular basis.
Yeah, and hockey is, as we've mentioned, you know, it's a sport that has its diehard fans here in the States, but it's not like the NFL, it's not like the NBA, and it's not even like Major League Baseball. So cultivating that fan base in an area that might not be predisposed to that in the first place, you're talking about Las Vegas, I don't know if I'm the commissioner from Gary Bettman, if that's something that I want to get into.
And the other cities that are being discussed include Seattle, which, outside of football and baseball, they still don't have that third option with the sign that's long gone now. And Quebec City, which lost the Nordiques. No, it's been a long time now since the Nordiques moved out of Quebec. I mean, I think of the three cities, Quebec, of course, could support the hockey team.
I was going to say, I'm not a numbers guy. I'm not an analyst. I'm not Nate Silver. But if I'm saying, what would be the best place for a hockey team? Vegas, Seattle, or someplace in Quebec, go with Canada.
And then the outside shot is actually Toronto. And you're probably asking yourself, Marcus, Toronto has a team. Well, as I found out this week, I'm going up to Toronto on Sunday to watch the Kings play the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs tickets are very expensive. And the team's not that good, but because it's Canada and it's hockey, they have no problems selling out that building. So the idea was to have a second team in Toronto, and that there's enough interest in people who are shut out from the Maple Leafs that they could support a second team in the same city. Sort of like the Clippers and the Lakers. Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting. Something to keep an eye on in the hockey world and what they ultimately decide to do.
Lag out. All right, well, that is another award-winning edition of Marcus Vandenberg's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. The segment is catching fire worldwide. But something that we're going to talk about next is a little something called the National Football League. And Marcus, we had a great week of action, and we also had some terrible, terrible games, and we will talk about all of that in Second Down. So stick and stay, because we got more Kings of Sport coming up right after this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gabfest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow. Referees, whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and if you are hearing that music, it must mean that it is time for Second Down, our weekly look into the world of football, whether that be collegiate, whether that be professional. Hell, we might even talk about the CFL.
That's over.
Well, we're not going to talk about the CFL then. But we are going to the Stampede one.
They won the Grey Cup.
All right, congratulations. Anyway, let's talk about something that is I'm really excited about, Marcus. It is a lot of times in sports, people are guilty of hyperbole and saying this that things are historic. But this is actually something that literally is historic. And we're talking, of course, about the inaugural college football playoffs.
The field's finally set. We should have gone back to our preview show to figure out who we predicted, because I forgot after South Carolina. I believe I had Oregon in there somewhere, and Florida State.
You had Oregon and Florida State in there. And I know I had Florida State and
Clemson or Georgia?
I think I had Georgia. I probably had Oregon too, but you folks can go back and listen to that. But we do have our seedings in one side of the bracket. You're going to have number 2 Oregon taking on number 3 Florida State in the Rose Bowl. And on the other side, you're going to have number 1 Alabama taking on number 4 Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl. First off, what did you think about the final rankings, the final standings? And second of all, which game are you more intrigued by?
As for the final rankings, I am not a fan of the weekly rankings leading up to the final ranking, because, you know, you looked at last week, and if you were going by what the committee was telling you, TCU at number 3, they were a solid 3. TCU went out last Saturday and won by 50-plus points, and they dropped 3 spots. So, you know, I just had a hard time trying to, I just comprehend the fact how TCU went from 3 to 6 based on what the other teams around them did. And you know, they're a bit of a at fault because they don't have a conference championship game. So Baylor and TCU, instead of facing each other, like Ohio State faced Wisconsin and Bama faced Mizzou, they were facing regular conference opponents, and Baylor actually beat a top 15 team in K-State at home, and that didn't really do much for them. It got them past TCU at least, but that was my biggest issue. I think Ohio State did send a message in that Big Ten conference game by shutting out Wisconsin and shutting down Melvin Gordon and ending his Heisman hopes, but I felt bad for TCU and Baylor for getting left out. And as for the game, give me the Rose Bowl for sure.
And that's, is that just because you live there?
Of course, no. you know, I'm not really a Saban guy or Urban guy, and I don't really, you know, I'm sure it'll be a good game, but in terms of excitement level, give me Oregon's offense and a Florida State team that has been finding new and creative ways to win every week. And we're talking about the last two Heisman Trophy winners because Mariota's going to win it this Saturday. So that would be a fun storyline to follow.
I agree. And a point of clarification, you are an Urban guy. You're just not a fan of Coach Meyer.
Yes.
Barely. Make sure we get that on the record. But, yeah, I agree with your point about, you know, not doing the standings every week, you know, because if you're going to use – March Madness as an example, as a template, you know, we don't know what's going on until Selection Sunday. And that's kind of the big deal. You know, we've got some clues based on the top 25, but we don't know for sure who's going to be slotted where until we have that big show. And I think it would have been so much better if, you know, instead of arguing about TCU or Baylor or Ohio State or some of these other teams, if we just knew that these are the rankings – going into the final week of the season, and then, you know, Saturday or Sunday, should I say, you have that big show where the each seed is unveiled. I think that would have been a much better way to implement the system.
Plus, I mean, it would be a lot less work for this committee to meet every Tuesday and to come up with this ranking that really doesn't mean anything in the end. It seems like it would just save them time to just focus on the final ranking and not worry about the stuff in between.
Yeah, I mean, y'all really think Condi Rice got time for this? She got stuff to do, man.
Yeah.
She got brunch with President Bush. I don't know what Condi Rice does.
I don't either.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I think that, again, I agree with you in terms of Oregon-Florida State being the more interesting game. Props to Ohio State, though, for even getting this far. They're now on their third quarterback of the season.
Yep.
And that's going to be interesting to see if he can get things done. You know, there's a month, maybe a little bit less than a month before the game?
About 3 weeks or so.
About 3 weeks. So, you know, he's got time to prepare, but by the same token, so does Nick Saban and that Bama defense. So let's go real quick, your prediction. First, Bama versus Ohio State. I would assume that you're with me in picking Bama on this one.
Yeah, Bama.
You think it's even close?
Yeah, but I respect Urban as the head coach, so I'm going to say it'll be within 10 points or so.
I say Bama by two touchdowns.
Okay, that's decent.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think it might get away from them a little bit later. And the other side of the coin, you've got Oregon and Florida State. I assume that we're about to hear some Pac-12 bias.
Speaking of the Pac-12, I was so wrong about the Arizona game. I felt bad. I was like, ooh, damn.
Yeah, yeah. You could have been any further away from that.
I don't know what happened, Rich Rod, but. Of course, the Ducks are going to win. Pac-12.
Big. I don't see it that way. I see a close game. I see a game that it's going to be high scoring, but it's not going to be one of those ridiculous video game Pac-12 scores. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I agree. I think Oregon's going to win. You know, all season long, we've seen Florida State do just enough to win. I think this game, you're going to see them make a crucial mistake towards the end of the game. Oregon's going to win. I'm going to say within 10 points.
Okay. All right.
I think that Florida State showed me something in that ACC championship game. I thought they would win, but it wouldn't have shocked me if Georgia Tech had pulled that thing out. But, you know, the big thing for me was the level of competition that Florida State has faced hasn't been world beaters, and teams that were good at a specific time, like Notre Dame at the time Florida State beat them, we thought it was a quality win. Now looking back in hindsight, it wasn't that big of a deal because Notre Dame turned out to be a little bit fraudulent. But there's got to be something to be said for, you know, winning, just going out there and getting it done week after week. And I think, you know, you got to tip your cap to Jimbo and Jameis Winston on it.
Yeah, I'd give credit for that.
So, but they're still going to lose, though. And Jameis will make his way to the NFL, which is where we are making our way to. Every week we do a picks challenge between Marcus Vandenberg and myself. And Marcus, much like our fantasy football league where you and I went head-to-head in the playoffs and you beat me, I'm not going to make any excuses. You know, my team came out, you know, we gave 110%. You know, we didn't play up to the level of our talent, but, you know, we make no excuses. We played a good team, and, you know, the better team won that day.
That's what I like to hear.
It'd be like Bill Belichick, you know, on the next season.
On to the franchise.
Yeah, on to the franchise. Yeah, so good luck against the franchise. But our picks challenge, this is getting really interesting, Marcus. Can you give the people the updated standings for the year and also what we did last week in terms of our picks?
So last week, we both went 2-2-1, and we had to push because of the Jets-Vikings game.
Okay. So the yearly standings, where do they stand right now?
I'm at 37-32-1. You're at 36-33-1.
Uh-oh, it's getting real close.
Yep.
Getting very close. So each week, if you're new to the program, Marcus and I select four games from Sunday, and we pick the Monday night football game with the spread. And let's start, Marcus, with let's go Steelers Falcons, because the Falcons, as everybody knows, they are my favorite team. At 5-8, they are a juggernaut. They are dominating the NFC South, and they covered the spread against the Packers. So things are looking up for Matty Ice and those boys.
Yeah, they covered 12.5 points. Good, good for you, Falcons.
Hey, come on. They only can play with the spread that they've been given. You blame Vegas, Mr. Las Vegas degenerate gambler.
Falcons are such frauds. Oh, God. one of my friends who's also a TNA fan, I don't know what's up with TNA and the Falcons, but he was tweeting last night talking about, oh, I like the Falcons' chances against Pittsburgh. We're going to outscore them. I was like, dude, the Falcons' defense, passing D is the worst in the league. How are you going to stop anyone at this point? So I look forward to Le'Veon Bell and Roethlisberger doing for 5,000 yards. Pittsburgh minus 2.5.
Yeah, see, Vegas respects Atlanta now.
No, they don't. They're home underdogs. That's not respect.
But at least it's within a touchdown.
You're the NFC South division leader, and you're an underdog at home. Respect, huh?
this is an interesting game to me because Pittsburgh has been very, I don't know, what would you call Pittsburgh, Marcus? Inconsistent?
Inconsistent, but better than I thought. I didn't think they would be 8-5 at this point.
Yeah. You know, this is a game where both teams are in the thick of divisional races. But you know what, Marcus? Atlanta has served me well, I think, 3 out of the last 4 weeks picking the Falcons. So I'm not going to jump off of my team right now, especially when, like I said, we're about to win this division. So I'm going to go with the
5-11.
Hey, any way you can get in the door, man.
Give me the Steelers.
All right. Well, since you're talking so disrespectful about my Falcons, let's talk about a team that definitely will not be in the playoffs. The Jets traveled to Tennessee to take on the Titans.
That hurts. Jets -1.5. Favorites.
Oh, 2-11 versus 2-11. This is a... And Geno still starting for the Jets?
Yeah.
By the way, Marcus, how do you guys lose on a screen pass?
It's called tanking. That's how you lose on a screen pass.
So you think that was a design play by the defense?
It worked. It is a five-way tie now for the worst record in the NFL.
So you just tank it for Mariota.
Yeah, the Raiders want to keep winning games. Go ahead, Raiders. Win games. That's cool. We'll be 2-14 and be very happy about it.
You know what? Since we've been talking about TNA and Nashville is the home office for TNA, I will take the Titans.
Oh, they look terrible. Give me the Jets.
All right. Speaking of the Raiders traveled to Kansas City in a tough matchup to take on the Chiefs. And the woeful Alex Smith, who I think I can throw a pass farther than Alex Smith, and I'm in no type of professional shape right now, Marcus. Like, has he thrown a pass over 20 yards all season?
He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver yet. It's been a year.
Captain Checkdown takes on the Raiders. What's the spread on that?
Chiefs -10.5.
And the Chiefs are a team that's kind of off pretty good, but they've regressed as the season is going on. 10.5. I mean, the Raiders did beat the 49ers, but I don't see them going into Arrowhead and beating the Chiefs.
No,
that's a lot of points, but I'll still take the Chiefs.
Give me the Raiders again.
Okay. And our final game on Sunday is going to be the Bucks at the Panthers, NFC South matchup. But the complexion of this game has changed, Marcus.
It has. Cam Newton was involved in a car accident on Tuesday morning in Charlotte, and he's currently hospitalized with two fractures in his back. So he's out for the season, it's safe to guess.
Yeah.
He's definitely out for Sunday's game, so.
Yeah, I would assume so. Like, there's no, what are you coming back for? No reason to come back, get healthy.
Well,
and I think
they're only, a half game out of the division?
I mean, and we've already established in this segment, Marcus, the Falcons are winning the division.
And they do play the Falcons, I think, next week or 2 weeks.
So when you have the weight of certainty and what is predestined to happen with the mighty Falcons winning, why subject your body to that torture?
Just saying, the Panthers are half game back, and they play not only the Saints still. Oh, no, they already played the Saints. They beat the Saints. They still play the Falcons in the season, so.
See, I'm looking out for Cam, man. I'm thinking about the future. I don't know why you're trying to rush this man back. This is despicable. Mm-hmm. Have you no journalistic integrity, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so take all the time you need, Cam. I want to see you get healthy. I think that's been part of his issues this season. Not only the fact that they really don't have any weapons, but I don't know if he's been healthy this year. Like, I don't know if he's been right.
Yeah, well, here's his chance to rest up.
So what's the spread on this game?
Panthers -6.
Panthers -6, and Who's the Panthers backup?
Derek Anderson. Jimmy Clausen. Still, or is Jimmy Clausen?
Jimmy Clausen still there?
Let's see. Derek Anderson.
Derek Anderson, the guy who was last time we heard about Derek Anderson, wasn't he laughing on the sidelines?
Yeah.
During the Arizona Cardinals loss. So you can either have the laughing man, Hugh Morris, or whoever the hell is going to be behind center for the Bucks.
Yeah, it might not be Josh McCown, so.
I don't. Can you go back to Glennon, though? Like,
yeah, why not?
Who else is on that roster?
At quarterback?
Who's the third string quarterback? Because I think he needs a shot.
There is no third string at the moment.
All I got to do, like, the best thing about this game is that it's too early to fire Lovie Smith.
It's never too early to fire a black coach. Come on now. You should know this in sports. It's never too early. let this dude finish 2-14. We'll see about Lovie Smith coming back next year.
I mean, do you really? Because aren't they still paying off Shiano's contract? You want to eat two contracts?
2-14, black man. They'll find the money for it.
Hey, he wasn't the one that signed Josh McCown to that ridiculous contract.
No, but yeah.
Like, seriously, what is it with these bad GMs in the National Football League with Josh McCowns of the world and Geno Smith is out here on these streets getting paid?
And Michael Vick.
Hey, let's not talk about Michael Vick. Why you always got to? So let's just get to the picks, Marcus. What's the spread on this?
I lost my page here. Let's see. Tampa Bay. Panthers -6. Oh, yeah. That's right. Did you pick?
No, I didn't pick yet. Panthers -6.
Uh-huh.
Tampa Bay is so terrible. Like, they're a woeful franchise. Give me the Panthers.
Panthers as well.
And our final game, Monday night, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints take on the Chicago Bears. What's the spread?
Saints -3.
No, like, knowing my luck, this will be the week Drew Brees finally goes off.
When you're out of the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got my consolation game next week.
Yeah, when you're out of the playoffs.
I'm so disgusted, I might rest Drew Brees and put, who the hell's my backup?
Not Tom Brady.
Not Tom Brady. I might put, I think it might be Geno Smith.
Oh, you have no backup then. Wow. You're too loyal to your people, Nate.
Who do you got in this one?
Well, after checking the weather to make sure there's not going to be a snowstorm going on in Chicago, give me the Saints. They need the win.
Well, and I'm not just saying this because it would behoove the Falcons if the Saints lost, but I'm going with the Bears.
All right. Jay Cutler.
Those are our picks. Yeah, Jay Cutler. Those are our picks. You can – I don't know why I keep saying this every week because we never really – we never update the picks on the site.
No, we lie.
We lie. But if you want to look this week and see if we do update the standings, go to facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Spoiler alert, we aren't going to.
No. we all make decisions in life, Marcus. The question is, if you make a decision, can you stick with it? Can you go through it? Can you follow through with it? And that is what is lying in front of one Phil Brooks. And for those of you who don't know who Phil Brooks is, he's probably better known to most of you as CM Punk. And he has made an interesting career move, Marcus.
He has. He's he's stepping into a different type of ring, you can say.
So we've got a very special guest up next to talk about CM Punk, to talk about a new day, and to talk about an old network. How's that for a tease?
It's a good tease.
Stick and stay. We got more Kings of Sport right after the break.
Come on, I got you. Have you ever seen new helicopter? Straight off the block, cause this little nigga grew up to be monster. You deserve to be mama. Twinkle, twinkle, her sparkle, her blonde. You and me is a must, girl. You shine like the first day of school. Got me some weed if you cool on the booze. Lie on the couch while I drool on your boobs. Now I'm just kidding, it's kidding to you. Take you to heaven, piss stop at the moon. Starting July to the month at the June. Hang on my arm while we freeze up the room. Girl, you the bomb, won't you take it and boom? Boom!
Hustle Gang's gonna be there for Shizzle.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here. PlaceToBeNation.com.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Sports talk for our generation.
Hope of the world is in our generation. It's all left up to us to change this present situation. Take a lesson from our elders. Don't make the same.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. And check them out at PlaceToBeNation.com. They are down with the Kings. You're down with the Kings. So get down with Place to Be Nation. Now, there's been a lot of news in the world of combat sports this past week. And Marcus, I think that, you know, your opinion and my opinion, that's great. The people love it. The people like it. But every now and then, we need to bring somebody in with a fresh perspective, with a fresh take. And that's what we're going to do this week.
Yeah, our guest this week is a longtime friend of mine, a former BET.com co-worker. We can talk about BET if he's down for it. But he's writing everywhere. You can find him on his own site, The World Versed, Jay-Z's Life and Times, Knocked Out Nation. He's all over the place. Andreas Hill, man. What's up, man?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Good to have you on the show, finally. It's been long enough.
I know, right? But, you know, good things happen eventually, so I'm glad to finally be here.
So, CM Punk, you were at the UFC show this past Saturday, and I didn't know this was coming down the pipeline. It didn't surprise me after I heard about it, but I didn't know that this was happening on Saturday. And, you know, when they teased another big announcement, I told the story on the podcast a couple weeks ago about the last UFC big announcement they had me in Las Vegas. So I didn't really have high hopes for this, but what did you think about the ultimate announcement, and what was the vibe like in the arena?
You know, to be honest, there was no vibe. You know, amongst the media, we had no idea what it was. We thought it was going to be something that had to do with the Reebok deal or, you know, something that had to do with the schedule next year. We had no clue anything to do with CM Punk. We always see him ringside at fights, so it's nothing new to see him there. I think the thing that kind of threw it off, I think when you had texted me about it, when I went over there to look where CM Punk was sitting, I noticed him in a suit, and he's never in a suit. So then the gears started turning, and then, you know, the announcement came and kind of blew us away, but nobody expected it. I think there was maybe one or two people that had an idea because somebody else mentioned I saw CM Punk in the suit, so it has to mean something. But, dude, the guy had never had an MMA fight in his life. So nobody expected that. We were all blown away.
And what was the sort of the instant reaction from the other media members on Press Row? Were they sort of like for it or against it? Or I guess it depends if you're a wrestling fan or not.
That's what it was. You know, if you're not a wrestling fan, it was foul language. Like, get out of here. There was a lot of that. But for those of us that are wrestling fans, we immediately started debating. I can't remember what fight. I think the main card was just getting underway. And we couldn't really pay attention to the main card because we were talking about all these possibilities of who CM Punk is going to fight. Is he going to go by his real name? Is he going to come out cult of personality? Like, our gears just started turning. But, you know, some of the heavy hitter MMA writers that really don't care about the world of pro wrestling, they kind of thought it was, you know, a cheap grab at some exposure. But I mean, I'm excited. I just don't know what to make of it.
Now, the immediate kind of reaction and response, especially on social media, was that, you know, you had a lot of people praising Punk, but also a lot of people, as social media tends to do, you know, you bring out the negativity, and the immediate comparisons were made to Kimbo Slice, which I think might be going a little far because Kimbo at least had some MMA experience before he stepped into the UFC. This reminds me more of Herschel Walker going into Strikeforce. Like, it's that type of deal to me, where you got a great athlete in one realm coming into a completely different world when you talk about the MMA, when you talk about UFC. You know, I think that this is going to be an interesting experiment because you've got somebody with a big name, somebody who brings a following in much like Brock Lesnar did, but unlike Brock, he doesn't have that background. He doesn't have the credentials. So, you know, what are your prospects when it comes to Punk stepping in that octagon?
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny because with Kimbo Slice, Kimbo Slice was a street fighter who didn't have any MMA experience. So the ground game is something that you need to have, as evidenced by Randy Couture versus James Toney. You have to know the ground game. Punk has been training jiu-jitsu for a long time, and there's a lot of pro wrestlers that have done it. Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, for instance, they've all trained at least some form of jiu-jitsu. Punk has been doing this, I believe, since his days at ROH, and I know he's been training out here at Syndicate MMA. So I wouldn't go as far as saying Herschel Walker, because Herschel Walker, he is an astounding athlete, but he was kind of old too. He might be a little bit more seasoned than Kimbo Slice. Kimbo was just way too green on the ground. He was more of a freak, you know, experiment than anybody else. So I think Punk kind of falls somewhere in the middle. And obviously, Dana's not going to throw him to the wolves. They're going to bring him around lightly with some, you know, I would expect some guys who are great jiu-jitsu guys and not too great kickboxing guys. 1-0 records, 0-1 records. It's really, you know, to see where Punk is, it's going to be a litmus test. We'll see 2 or 3 fights. He's going to get some softballs. And then I expect him to get him somewhere seasoned. And I expect the guy that he's going to face, it might be Phil Baroni. If anybody can sell a fight, it's going to be Phil Baroni. And Phil Baroni's not really that good to begin with. So that might be kind of fun. And the hype leading up to it will be very WWE-esque.
Yeah, as long as we don't get homeless drifter like the dude Mickey Rourke just bought. I think at first, you know, just as long as it's somebody at least halfway credible, I think the fans will just be happy to see Punk in that octagon.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, we're not going to get anybody that anybody really knows. At the end of the day, CM Punk's going to land on a main card. It'll be on a pay-per-view. He'll probably open up the card against somebody nobody's really ever heard of. But the hype is already there, and it's going to be established. Yes, diehard MMA pundits are going to be critical about it. They're going to say, what's he doing on the main card? But you got to look at for what it is. Punk is a draw. And in what he said at the press conference, that his first fight is going to be the biggest thing ever, so why do it at a small company, makes perfect sense. He needs to do this fight at the UFC. He needs to do it on the big stage. And he needs to do it against a lesser opponent. If he wins, great. Bottom line is people are going to buy it.
Now, if you were fantasy booking CM Punk's debut in the UFC, would you try to get him set up for that July show?
That's a good question. You know, honestly, it's really up to when Punk is ready. Because the other thing that comes with Punk coming to the UFC is, I don't think he's ever properly cut weight before. So that's another thing he's going to have to experience. He's not a wrestler like Lesnar who's done it for years. He's going to have to learn how to cut weight because he's built and walking around at 200, 215. I think he's closer to 200, but he's going to have to fight at 185. He'll get mauled by guys like John Jones. So that's going to be a long-term process to see where he goes weight-wise. Then he's going to have to feel comfortable and ready to debut. July seems like it'd be perfect. You know, 7 months into the new year, where we're at, December right now. 7 months seems, you know, logical. That makes a lot of sense. And the July card is usually turning into a showcase for Chris Weidman anyway. So to throw Punk on the bill seems like it would make perfect sense.
Plus, I mean, it sounds like Punk is going to get a cut of the pay-per-view sales. So from his aspect, it's going to make sense for him to be partnered on a bigger show of the year is usually July show, July or December. So,
yeah, I mean, but let's be real, dude. It's like if Punk is going to fight it, I don't care. He could fight on Thanksgiving night. People are going to buy it. You know, like, so they're going to fight. They're going to watch Punk fight. It doesn't matter if it's July. He wouldn't have to necessarily headline a card. You could throw him on any title card and have his debut. It's going to get top billing. Somebody's going to pay for it. A bunch of kids who love wrestling are going to pay to see their favorite pro wrestler debut in the UFC. So it doesn't really matter. He's going to sell. If he loses, that's when Dana has to really figure out what he's going to do next.
Well, honestly, I think when I first heard this news, of course I was, you know, shocked by, you know, the jump into the world of UFC. But the second thing I thought of was, this is not about these fights. You know, I think he wants to fight, obviously. It's something that he's been thinking about for a while. But I think what Punk is doing is setting up his next career. Because as much as the fans want to see him back in the WWE, I don't know if that bridge has been burned, but it's pretty hot right now. So I think he's setting himself up for a secondary career where, you know, after these two, three, four fights, how many fights he does, you know, he can be somebody that slides into the booth, somebody that does some commentary, does some analysis, and I think he'd be great at that.
Yeah, I mean, the fascinating thing about Punk is he's not a wrestler that's going to be stuck wrestling. He's not going to be a guy who has to consistently come back to the business. He's writing the Thor comic. Like, he's already past what the WWE has to offer. He can do more. So, yeah, he's setting the stage for what he wants to do next. He may be commentating Cubs games eventually. This guy is talented. You know, he's not just a pro wrestler. He's a great mouthpiece. He's a great promoter. And he's a lover of many things in nerd culture that we all appreciate. So, for him, yeah, he's laying the groundwork for the future. And as far as the WWE is concerned, that the bridge has never burned, and we've seen it before where Stone Cold has come back. We've seen Hulk Hogan come back. But in Punk's case, I think he wants the bridge burned. I don't think he wants to ever come back to this. He's been there, done it, burnt out by it. I don't think he's ever going to have that desire to come back because he doesn't need it.
I don't think he ever goes back. And I know they say never in wrestling, but I'm saying never. He's never going back after these last couple of interviews he's done.
Yeah, no, this, what, why? Yeah. What are you going to do? What can you possibly do? I mean, if he gets it, like, Punk's is a guy of principle, and his principle is that he wanted to headline WrestleMania on his own terms. Like, he wanted to work hard to get it himself. If he gets a handout from Vince McMahon and says, hey, come back, we're going to put you in the headline of WrestleMania, he's going to not want that. He doesn't want a handout. So I think he's done with it, man. He's past it. He's over it. And it's not too many guys that can say that they're over something, but you look at CM Punk, when you're writing a Thor comic book and you're making your MMA debut in the UFC, you're over the UFC.
And you're married to AJ?
Right. How about that? Why? Why? That poor girl. I think she's about to get buried. I feel bad for her. Yeah. Exit strategy out of WWE because they're about to bury her ass.
In 2 weeks from now, she's going to be with the New Day.
Oh.
Oh man, come on! Look, can we not talk about the New Day? I was hoping for Nation of Domination. Okay, let's talk about this real quick. The WWE has we got these three black dudes that we've seen. They're athletes. Xavier Woods is a great mouthpiece. When they announced it, we were like Nation of Domination, you know, New Millennium, and we got three dudes on some Kirk Franklin crap. Man, I'm good. I mean, I don't want to call it cooning, but damn it, it's pretty close.
Now, Nate, share your theory with Andreas about the New Day.
See, when I first heard this, when I first saw the vignettes, I'm like, okay. And granted, I had the example of TNA, you know, a couple months before with the group with MVP, Bobby Lashley, Kenny King.
MLK.
Where it really wasn't about race. You know what I mean? It was just these three dudes that had a common bond, and they're like, hey, we're going to come in here and wreck stuff. And so my thinking with the New Day was you're going to get these vignettes for a few weeks. You're going to get all the promos. Then the first week we see them, they're going to debut on Raw. And for the record, I don't know why they debuted them on SmackDown. That should have been your first clue that this isn't going to last. But they would have debuted on Raw with the choir and the Kirk Franklin stuff and all that. as soon as Woods gets on the mic, he's like, hey, is this what you think of us? This is not who we are. And then, bam, he goes into, you know, this man Big E is an athlete. This man Kofi has been somebody that's been held down for too long. And I'm legitimately one of the smartest people in this company, but all they got for me is shucking and jiving. And then you take off the heel group from there.
Yeah, you were thinking a little bit too progressive for the WWE. Come on, man. How many times, you know, most of us have sat at home and done some fantasy booking. Marcus, I know me and you have talked about it, like, this would be great, this would be great, this would be great. And everything that we think of is, it never pans out. We the New Day is, this is dumb. They're like, I'll be surprised if the New Day lasts until WrestleMania. To be real, I don't see them. Shoot, they might be in some pre-show 30-man battle royal, all getting eliminated by the return of the Great Khali. I mean, it's just bad, man. I don't see it panning out.
Well, that's to tell you how big they are. Like, they had all this fanfare, and their first pay-per-view match, they're going to be at the pre-show on TLC. That, like, come on.
Who are they facing? Gold Dust and Stardust?
Yeah, the Rose Brothers, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the Rose Brothers.
Wow.
I mean, and can we get Big E to stop talking like, you know, a preacher? Can we cut that out? Why does every promo he cut, he sounds like he's in the pulpit for real? For real, for real. Like, that's where it seems like that's where they came up with this idea. They listened to him talk and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, some white dude was sitting in the studio was like, you know what? The black church is amazing, man. Let's have a group of black church wrestlers. No, that's terrible. It's awful, and I'm offended.
And Vince was like, black people love church. Tyler Perry's hot right now. Let's put this in a gimmick, damn it.
You see, you just don't even put that in the atmosphere. We might see Madea at WrestleMania.
Man. It wouldn't be the first time we've seen something like that. We had Shelton Benjamin's mom. We had Brodus Clay with the dancing mammies. I would not put it past him.
Don't give him these ideas, guys.
Tyler Perry, guest host of WrestleMania.
If you're in Stamford, Connecticut, don't listen to this podcast. Just ignore all this.
Yeah, please erase this from your memory banks.
Michael Hayes, then we're going to get blamed for it. Michael Hayes is writing this down as we speak.
Speaking of the WWE, I know we've talked, and I think we're both pretty sour on the product at the moment. And we're both done WrestleMania together. Do you think they can turn the corner between now and April to get us excited? I mean, outside of Sting coming back to wrestle, is there anything else that you're looking forward to?
Yes, I do. You want to? Here's why I say yeah, because I was really sour last year, and that's why I didn't go. I was unhappy with, like, as soon as Batista won the Royal Rumble, I was like, I'm not going. And it ended up being one of the better WrestleManias we've had in a long time.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna have a similar outcry come January, depending on how the Royal Rumble plays out. I think the WWE does this weird thing where they completely crap out after Survivor Series, and now it's like including Survivor Series. They just crap out, and they don't care what they put together. We're getting cards thrown together that nobody cares about. We have a freaking stairs match coming up at TLC. Who wrestles with stairs? Like, what do? Climb the stairs and stand on top of them to win? It's dumb. It's mindless booking. But come January, hopefully, you know, we find, you know, we see something that keeps Roman Reigns out of the main event because he's not ready. And somewhere we see Dean Ambrose, we see Dolph Ziggler, maybe we get a Dean Ambrose heel turn, but there's something that we could get excited about, none of which has to do with Roman Reigns, and none of which, I can't play anything off of what's on the current product, because it sucks. It is the most uninterested I've been in a while. And we don't even have Daniel Bryan to get excited about. Yeah. So hopefully there's some kind of surprise comeback, but, you know, as of right now, I would say no, but I can never count out Vince. I figure something will have to give. You know, we got the next product is actually really good. NXT is really good. So maybe we'll have a call up. Something crazy's got to happen.
And the thing is, you got a bunch of interesting characters out there. You got Sting, like Marcus mentioned. You got Randy Orton out there. You got Dean Ambrose. You got Dolph Ziggler. But the question will be, can they resist the temptation to go back to the same old, and we're left with a card with John Cena at the top?
See, that's what scares me. I mean, you know what? Somebody's got pull the trigger on Randy Orton sooner or later before this RKO out of nowhere thing just completely goes away. This is they waited a little bit too long on Orton.
Yeah.
But then Orton is like the epitome of the WWE product right now. They don't know how to properly utilize him. A great talent, a perfect tweener, but they either push him one side or the other, and he never works out either way. That's the product right now. So I don't want to see Cena at the top. To be honest with you, I want to see Cena put over Rusev for the U.S. title at Mania. I want to see Cena get beat by Rusev fair, clean. That's what I want to see. But they ain't going to do that. Cena's not going to do that.
I don't see Cena in the main event at the moment. I mean, I think that, I mean, that's the Rumble. It's supposed to be that set up, and I'm assuming he's not going to beat Lesnar. And I guess it depends on what his contract situation looks like. If Lesnar's going to stay, then I don't see why he wouldn't keep the title. But if he's going to go back to MMA, he's got to drop it. And that's going to be pretty telegraphed, I think.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Cena with that strap. No. I don't care what anybody says. The kids don't want to see Cena with that strap.
Yeah, to me, it all depends on whether they go into a panic mode over this network, which is a great product, but it is not catching on for whatever reason. You know, I think part of the problem was the rollout. You've got the technology barrier, but there's also, you know, how much wrestling can you really watch in 1 week? Like, I think a lot of fans bought it, and then they're like, you know, this is cool, this is neat, but it's not a necessity.
But you know what? I'm going to throw this theory out there and let me know what you think. Okay, so the WWE Network launches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who watches the network, what do you watch?
I watch a lot of the classic pay-per-views, and I watch some of the original programming.
Nate, do you watch the network? What do you watch?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, I watch like a lot of WCW, a lot of ECW. The Monday Night War, that's a decent series, but mainly it's the nostalgia stuff.
Okay, so it's a bunch of stuff for older people. Older people who grew up during the Attitude Era that appreciated the product. Now, the product on TV is not for the older people. So it doesn't translate. Like, if I'm a, you know, a casual wrestling fan who's kind of getting back into wrestling, and somebody tells me, hey, they got this WWE network. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to turn on Raw and see if this is a good thing to buy. Then I watch the current product and I'm like, nope, no thanks, this sucks, I'm not buying the network. There's no synergy between the two. None whatsoever. You have the occasional podcast, which even then, it's got some old school wrestler like Stone Cold Steve Austin that people that are over 25 appreciate. And then when you watch the product on TV, it's this PG product that's geared towards kids. Kids aren't going to watch the network for none of that old stuff. It doesn't work. There's no synergy. They got to figure this thing out.
It makes you wonder, whoever's programming the network, I wonder if they're actually a wrestling fan or if they're just a suit who has been brought in to do digital, you know, streaming stuff. I don't get half the time how they program some of the stuff on the network. It just doesn't make any sense from a wrestling fan.
No, the other night I think I was watching something in WCW's pay-per-view Sin came on, and I was like, why the hell is this on?
Yeah, don't
show
that.
That's like the worst pay-per-view ever. I think,
like, why would you show that?
Like, is it a joke? Is this? Am I supposed to be watching this? If I'm a kid and I'm like, hey, I'm going to watch the network, and I turn on and watch this, I'm like, whoa, this is horrible. Like, I don't even, like, nobody should watch that pay-per-view. Unless it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, that would be awesome.
That'd be funny.
That would be great. Like, that's an idea they can run with. Go away from the New Day idea, WWE, if you're listening, and go with the Mystery Science Theater 3000 with crap pay-per-views. Do that. But it just doesn't work, man. There's no synergy. There's no reason why when I finish watching Raw, and if I turn on the network, it's something that I'll watch for like 30 minutes, but then I'm watching, going back and watching old pay-per-views again. That's all I do.
Yeah, I think in terms of original stuff, in terms of current stuff, the most interesting thing that's been on the network in the past 6 months has probably been that Stone Cold podcast, and they were talking about a lot of older stuff.
Yeah, It's not fair and well. I mean, they've done some cool things. Like, I remember the Shield package that they put together before the SummerSlam pay-per-view. That was good.
Yeah.
The Usos little bio, that's good. And that's a good idea to start digging into some of these mid-carders. Not that the Usos are mid-carders, but some of their lives that don't get these big beyond-the-ring two-hour shows. It'd be good to get familiar with a lot of these characters and their lives. But they're not doing that. It's like a bunch of stuff that you've already watched, and you don't want to watch it again. And if you're like, again, if you're young, it's like, dude, is Slam City on? No? Okay, I'm good. There's nothing here I'm going to watch. Like, the kids don't see what they want to watch. And if the product was better, if they had an edgier product, I think the network would do better, because only adults are really buying this stuff. Even if you're buying it for the kid as an adult, you're going to end up watching something older, so they just got to fix the product. The television product is too much crap in order for me to, you know, to justify anybody who doesn't watch wrestling like I do to pay $9.99 whatever the hell, a month to pay for this network.
It's almost been a year since the announcement at CES, and I know we were so damn excited that night leaving CES after the announcement. Like, we couldn't wait for the network to launch, and then looking back a year later, you're right, it's been okay. I mean, I watch it from time to time, but it's not something that I watch on a daily basis.
No, I mean, I watch a lot of it because I binge watch old pay-per-views, but that's just me because I'm like a wrestling head. So I'm excited about it, but I have no reason to explain to somebody else why, yeah, man, you should buy this for sure, because nothing. I have nothing for you.
Before we let you go, let's talk boxing real quick. There are quite a few fights this weekend, starting on Thursday with Austin Trout and Antonio Tarver on the same card.
I mean, I can't believe you even said it like that. Antonio,
it's better than WCW saying, man. It's better than saying
ESPN too. Going way deep on the fighters list. Of all the fights between Thursday and Saturday, what's the one fight leading forward to the most?
Oof. You know what? And it sucks because it's not really a competitive fight. But I just kind of want to see Keith Thurman in the ring on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The Devin Alexander Amir Khan fight, it sounds good on paper, but it has all the potential to be boring as hell. The Timothy Bradley D.O. Chavez fight is actually kind of interesting, depending on how Bradley, you know, plays his cards. Chavez is going to come try to knock his head off. And then, you know, actually, you got Ishae Smith fighting Arisandi Lara.
Yeah, boy, Ishae, does he have any chance of beating Lara?
He does. I just talked to him this week. I just did a feature on him for Ring TV, and you know, he really doesn't think Lara's that good. I mean, obviously, I guess that's what you're supposed to say, but Lara's actually pretty good. He just doesn't really apply pressure. I mean, that's why he lost the Canelo fight. I don't see Ishae winning that, Smith. No. I don't see him winning that fight. I don't see him winning it by any stretch of the imagination. But you never know. You get something weird happen. I doubt it, though.
Yeah, real quick before we let you get out of here, you know, a couple seconds ago, we talked about a network that is failing financially. You and Marcus have a common past with a network that some would say has failed its core demographic.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, Marcus just sent me the link of the resignation letter. The
Andreas Hill pipe bomb.
Pipe bomb when you left BET.com. And just from hearing the stories that he's told me, like, I like money, but I don't think I would like that money in that environment.
Yeah, no. I mean, ooh-wee. Without being too long-winded about it, it's really that they couldn't allocate their resources properly. They had a bunch of people who shouldn't have been in the positions that they could have been in to prosper. They weren't doing that. When I got there, they sold me the farm and didn't give me a pig. You know, It was one of those situations where they brought me in because I'm like a hip-hop guy. Before I came to BET, I was running a site called Hip Hop DX, and I was working at a site called Hip Hop Site, and I was writing for The Source, and I was covering underground artists, and they told me, this is what we want. We want these cutting-edge artists, and we want you to bring them to us. And I brought them Nicki Minaj, and I brought them Drake, and they shut me down. They told me Gucci Mane was the future.
Wow.
So this is what, 08, 09, right?
Yeah, I mean, with Drake, it was right after So Far Gone drop. I talked to Drake's attorney, Oliver, who was also his manager at the time, and he was willing to come by the office. And my boss at the time, I'll leave her name out of it, but she was like, nah, Drake won't be anything. Gucci Mane's what you need to watch. I brought Nicki Minaj to the office. Same thing. I was like, look, she's going to be the future of this industry. She's got the look. She can actually rap. She's trying to be a pop star. Nah. Gucci Mane's a future. This is what it's all about. It's just, it was ridiculous, man. Like, BET always waits for MTV to do something before they jump on board. And as African-Americans, we can't keep waiting for, quote-unquote, white folks to do stuff before we think it's cool. And BET has always had that issue. So they're always going to fail us. Even when they're trying to get better now, they're still failing me.
So you're saying you're not going to shed a tear when 106 and Park goes off the air next week?
What? Absolutely not. Come on, man. No. No, because what is it even reflective of these days? You know, when's the last time anybody's watched 106 apart that you know?
Exactly. I can't remember the last time.
You know, who's the number one video? Do you care? I don't care.
Nah.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So, yeah, that's how we bonded to BET. We found out we both had common interest in wrestling and sports, and Andreas left before I did, and I left shortly. Well, I left and came back, so I was the sucker in the group. Andreas was smart and got out of town.
He was the CM Punk of BET.com.
Yeah, that's a funny thing. After I went to the CM Punk show, somebody texted me and was like, "Yo, CM Punk was copying you when you left BET." I was like, "That's funny."
Oh man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. You'll have to come back on the show sometime next year so we can do this again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd be glad to be here. We can shoot it all day. I'm ready. I got a mouthful of venom for anything.
You can come back after WrestleMania, after our trip to Mania.
Oh yeah, let's do that. Hopefully,
right before the wedding.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be happy, man. Because if WrestleMania sucks, I mean, I don't know if this show is meant for kids, but it's going to be a lot of foul language, dog. Because I spent money.
Well, your 49ers suck, so they share the same.
We're not doing that today.
No, okay.
No, we're going to leave Colin Kaepernick out of this. He's cost me money, lots of money this year. He's just not getting better. I don't want, man. Let's not harp on it, but. Yo, we lost to the Raiders.
I got a question though, because when Kaepernick first had his ascension, wasn't everybody giving Jim Harbaugh the credit? Oh, this is a quarterback genius. Look at the way he's molding this quarterback. He made the right decision to get rid of Alex Smith. How come now that Colin Kaepernick is taking a step back, Cap's the only one taking the heat?
Because Cap hasn't done anything to progress. I mean, watch him in the pocket. The guy doesn't read more than a receiver. He keeps his eyes locked in one place. He thinks the damn game is NFL Street. As soon as the pocket collapses, he starts running around, and he runs into sacks. He leads the NFL in getting sacked. That's ridiculous. You're like, you shouldn't be running around the pocket. Like, you should be progressing. We should be running the damn ball. But there's so many weapons. Who else can you blame? I can't really blame Harbaugh at the end of the day, because Kaepernick has Vernon Davis, Stevie Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree, who's underachieving like hell, Frank Gore, Carlos Hyde, and who's at fault? It's Colin Kaepernick. He's the one throwing the picks. You don't lose to the Raiders. You don't do that.
See, I think he's got more weapons than he had last year, but I don't know. For some reason, that running game was on point last year, and as somebody that had Frank Gore on one of my fantasy teams, I don't know, man, I don't know if it's the scheme, if it's Roman calling the plays, but I don't know. I mean, Cap definitely bears a lot of this, the brunt of this sad sack franchise right now, but I think there's a lot of other people that can share blame in this as well.
I mean, you know, all right, you know, long story short, the damn Niners cost me my fantasy football playoffs for $1,000 because I had the Eagles to play the Eagles defense against the Seahawks, or I had the Niners against the Raiders. It's like a brain dead choice. You choose the Niners against the Raiders, but the Niners defense has been pretty damn beat up this season. And that used to be our staple. And when you got guys like Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis out, it's hard to really stop anything. But the offense has got to pick up the slack. And Kaepernick's not doing anything. The read option, that seems like it was like 30 years ago. Do you see anybody running the read option properly anymore?
Nope.
So we suck. We're not making the playoffs. I'm going to be mad. I hope Harbaugh doesn't leave. I hope they sit down and really try to figure this out, because Harbaugh's a good coach.
He's gone. He's so gone.
You can see him every Saturday in Michigan.
Yeah. All right. I'm done with you guys.
Well, you guys have something in common, by the way. I beat both of you in the fantasy playoffs this week, so. Feels good. Feels good to beat both of you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because Peyton Manning got 1 point for me. I don't know what. Like, you did something, Marcus. Peyton Manning got 1 point, and Julio Jones got how much?
Well, our league is a little weird. You get 86 points, but that's because we have inflated points. Yeah. But yeah,
you
must have put the same curse on my team because Drew Brees. Drew Brees only had like 12 points.
Yeah. Overrated. All right,
it's always next year.
Where can the people find you at?
I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Andreas Hale. I don't really get on Facebook. And then you can just look for my work on like Jay-Z's Life and Times, Ring TV, Share Dog. I do the video interviews there. Ozzy.com, wherever. I'm pretty much everywhere writing about anything. I just wrote a piece on PWG Wrestling, so I'll write about anything.
Good stuff. So that is Andreas Hale. We are the Kings of Sport. Now, I think we're going to talk about some ratchetness next, Marcus.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. No Bill Cosby this week, though. I'm putting that out there right now.
All right.
No Bill Cosby. All right. More Kings of Sport right after the break. What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down, getting ready to close up shop for yet another week. But you know what we got to do before we go? We got to give you what you want, give you what you need, and that is ratchetness in its purest form. We like to call it segment four. It's where we take a look at crazy stories from the world of sports and pop culture, and we give them to you. And the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been light on celebrity news, Marcus, but it is back in a big way, and it features one of my favorite people in all of entertainment.
Oh, no.
And I'm not saying I like him. I'm saying I like the stories that seem to surround this person, and he is also someone that our friends over at Mr. Throwback Thursday have affectionately coined Piss Dookie.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shout out to Bill and Jamie. And of course, we're talking about Sean Combs. Take that, take that, take that. What has Diddy, who I think is a great producer and a terrible rapper, what has Diddy gotten himself into now, Marcus?
Piss Dookie?
Piss Dookie. Yeah. Wow. That's what they call him.
Wow. Well, Piss Dookie and Drake were involved in an altercation, according to TMZ, early Monday morning. And it all started over a song, reportedly. I guess the 0 to 100 song. You've heard that song, right?
Yeah.
So I guess Boy Wonder, producer, by the way, just is to show you how old I'm getting. So I'm reading the story about the Diddy Drake thing. And I get to the line about where it talks about the producer of the track, Boy Wonder. And I've only heard Boy Wonder's name, like, spoken. I've never seen it actually on paper. So I was looking at it, and I was like, how the hell do you pronounce this? Because it's spelled B-O-I dash the number one D-A. And I was like, oh, man, I'm out of touch. I don't know how to pronounce. I had to go on YouTube to find a Boy Wonder video to find out, oh, yeah, that's Boy Wonder. So
he had to figure out how he could fit it on a license plate.
Yeah, I'm getting old, people. 31, going on 32. So Boy Wonder created the beat for 0 to 100, and he gave it to both Diddy and Drake. And I guess Diddy sat on the track while Drake went out and did his thing. So Diddy confronted Drake. This was the first time they've met up since the whole track came out. And I guess, according to TMZ, sources close to Diddy say he confronted Drake, who just blew him off And that's when Diddy said, "You'll never disrespect me again," and then punched him. And then on top of that, Drake reportedly ended up at the ER because he ended up injuring a shoulder that it was a prior injury, but he still had to make a trip to the hospital. So
people forget because people nowadays, they think about Diddy and that stupid, what is that liquor he's hawking?
Ciroc,
yeah. The look be a lady tonight. They think that's Diddy, that guy and the guy in that, what was it, Kia commercial where he's out in the desert and he's like, is that Mirage Diddy? People think of that guy. They don't think of the guy that, what did he go upside a producer's head with a liquor bottle?
Yep.
Yeah, they forget about that guy. They forget about the guy that was in the club with J-Lo when people was getting shot up.
Listen, Diddy was born and raised, not born, but he was raised in Mount Vernon. Which is where my family's from. Mount Vernon's nothing to fuck with. There are a lot of grimy people in Mount Vernon. So don't let Diddy fool you. He's been around some ratchetness. He's seen some things. He's done some things. And despite being 45, he still doesn't have a problem going after Drake.
Yeah, Drake, who is just... If you didn't like him because of his bandwagon allegiance to NBA teams, if you didn't like him because of his music... Man, this dude on social media is ridiculous. Like him and Chris Brown, that's another idiot out there.
Yeah,
yeah, they got that little beef going on. It's like Drake, man, karma's gonna come out to get you. You can't be out in these streets sleeping with other people's dudes and other.
That was
a Freudian slip right there,
Drake. What are you up to, Drake?
It's just hold on, we going home, Tony. You can't be out in these streets sleeping with other dudes' chicks, and you can't be hopping on with people's music. I don't know what's the protocol in that situation, Marcus. If Boy Wonder gives the track to both guys, like, is there a statute of limitations on who gets to use it first?
Maybe a situation where you got to respect your elders, and Diddy has dibs just based on his age. But at some point, you gotta, you know, record or not. And Drake sounds like he got frustrated and was like, "I'm gonna use the track and." You know, tough shit, Diddy.
Maybe, yeah, Diddy was in a situation with that Chick-fil-A from a couple weeks ago. He couldn't use 0 to 100 yet. He was prohibited from using it. But, yeah, that's a weird situation right there. It's like you got two guys working on the same. So I will say, though, even though I'm not a fan of a lot of what Drake puts out, I got to imagine that the song that he created – is a lot better than
10 times better.
Yeah.
20 times better.
Like Diddy would have had some nonsense on that track.
It would have been sad. It's a great beat, and I can only imagine Diddy trying to rap over it.
Take that, son. Take that. Yo, I didn't kill my friend. That's the basis of Diddy's rhymes. It's like, take that. Can't stop, won't stop. I didn't kill my friend, and buy Ciroc.
Yeah.
Like, that's the song right there. So, yeah, this is the one instance where I'm like, okay, it's probably best that that Drake was able to do that. So, yeah, really, really interesting. Like, hip-hop is just weird these days. Like, and it takes something like this, because get a lot of beef on social media, you know, whether it's Drake and Chris Brown or what was that chick the other week that really came down on Iggy Azalea?
Oh, Snoop and Iggy. Oh,
Iggy no, Snoop and Iggy had the thing, but it was some chick came out like right after Ferguson and the Eric Garner verdict.
Oh, what's her name? It'll come to me.
Yeah, she was like, you know, if you go, you got to ride with us if you going to ride the black dick. Like, whoa.
Whoa.
That one is hot fire.
Azalea Banks.
Okay, yeah. Azalea Banks. And that's already 2 seconds more relevance than she needs. You know, I'm no Iggy Azalea fan, but yeah. I don't even know who the hell this chick is.
You're getting old, man.
But Diddy, like you said, man, Diddy is not about that Twitter life. Diddy is about, I'm going to come see you. And either me or one of my goons is going to handle this in a more personal way.
You can't be letting no dude run up on you like that at 45. Come on, Drake.
He got that old man strength, too. And he's probably drunk off the rock.
He's letting Toronto down.
Oh, Drake. Speaking of light-skinned brothers, that's a theme this week. We had Schmontel in the first segment.
Schmavius Smorter.
Yeah. We had Drake in that last story.
Andreas is light skin.
Okay, see, I did not know that. So, yeah, so the theme is run through. And we're going to end off segment four with a much-requested story that we talk about. And you know, we're on CPT time because we're talking about it 2 or 3 weeks later. And I'm trying to see who requested
it. Yeah, see who requested this so we can get the proper shout-out so we can stop with the... with this person's name in the Twitter feed till next year.
this is a name for you. Faiz Iqbal, FAZIQBAL.
That's his Twitter name?
Yeah.
Does it say where he lives?
Birmingham.
Oh, UK.
Yeah.
Not Alabama. I'm guessing they're not watching.
Yeah, I don't know many fast eight balls in Birmingham, Alabama.
Not ones that can live and tell about it, so.
Yeah, but fans has hit us up a couple times on Twitter asking us to talk about Lewis Hamilton. And initially I was like, who the hell is Lewis Hamilton? And then Marcus directed me to some research, and I know who Lewis Hamilton is. And now you are going to know who Lewis Hamilton is because he is the subject of our final story in segment four.
Champion Lewis Hamilton to us, to you and me. He's the F1 champion, and he also dated that pussycat doll chick.
The lead singer,
Nicole Scherzinger. Okay. Yeah, her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gaining more respect for the brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Lewis Hamilton is a black dude in England, and he drives Formula One race cars.
Odd choice for profession, but he's good at it.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? But apparently he's I heard of him 2 weeks ago when we were first asked, and I forgot, and I remembered who he was moments before we recorded the show today. Yeah, apparently he's been doing work for a while.
By the way, he won the title back in 2008 as well, so he's now the second black champion because he's now done it twice.
Yeah, he's got 32 career victories, the most of any British driver. And, yeah, he is the two-time world champion. And I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. And I told Marcus when we were researching this story, like, the most interesting thing to me is that everything with black racers always comes back to one name. And I will now read this paragraph or this line from Wikipedia, which filled me with joy, and I will share it with Marcus.
All right.
Hamilton is often labeled the first black driver in Formula One, although this is not factually accurate.
Oh, no.
Willie T. Ribbs.
Yeah.
Formula One car in 1988.
My favorite driver.
Willie T. Ribbs. Oh man, and for those of you that do not know Willie T. Ribbs, he was he's a pioneering black driver. But you know, he's raced in IndyCar, Formula One, NASCAR, Craftsman Truck Series, but respect to the brother. But now we're gonna get in a little bit of disrespect. Could you think of the worst possible name for a pioneering black driver than Willie Ribbs?
Well, we'll name William. So William Ribbs Jr. I mean, that's a little more respectable. But Willie T.
Like the only thing worse than Willie Ribbs would have been like Ricky Menthol.
Yeah.
Buster Chicken. Like, Wendell Watermelon on the third lap. Like, of all the stereotypical names, Willie Ribs, man.
Willie T. Ribs.
The T sets it off. Like, he lives out in California. Maybe we'll have to look Willie Ribs up and see if he can come on the show. Because he's one of those names that I've always, like, of course the South is a NASCAR stronghold. Mm-hmm. And, like, a various supermarkets and grocery stores, things like that. You know, every once in a while they'll hand out NASCAR trading cards. And this was probably about, had to be the 80s. And this was simultaneously racist and uplifting. Because when my parents went through the line and they were handing out the cards to all the little kids, like, here's a Ricky Rudd, here's a Dale Earnhardt Sr., here's a Richard Petty. They see me with my parents, and the guy goes through the deck, and I'm like, huh, what is he doing? Because I'm expecting, I want a car too. I don't even like NASCAR, but I want a car because all the other little kids are getting NASCAR cards. So I see them, man, shuffling the deck, going through. I'm like, what is he doing? He must be looking for a good one. He must be about to give me, you know, Kyle Petty. He must be about to give me somebody great. And he did. He handed me a Willie T. Ribs NASCAR trading card. Oof. I'm like, huh. I don't know if this is a racist gesture or if this is, hey, kid, keep working hard, and someday you can be a black driver on the NASCAR circuit that doesn't win.
He was trying to uplift you.
Yeah, he's trying to inspire me with Willie T. Ribs. So that's the way I took it.
We should probably shout out the real pioneer of black NASCAR drivers, Wendell Stott.
Yeah, who they based their movie off of.
Yes.
Was it one of the Burt Reynolds movies?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Let me see. Let me look that up. Because I think it was one. You know, Burt Reynolds made a bunch of car movies back in the 70s. And I think his story was turned into a movie. Let's see. No, it wasn't a Burt Reynolds movie. It was a Richard Pryor movie.
Oh, okay.
Grease Lightning was loosely based on Wendell Scott's biography. So, yeah, shout out to Wendell Scott and Willie T. Ribs. And there was another black race NASCAR driver recently.
Bill Lester. Oh, recently, Darrell Wallace Jr.
Yep. And I was telling Marcus before we started recording, I used to cover IndyCar races at the Richmond Speedway. I worked for CBS, like, you know, doing stats and holding camera lines for some of the reporters and stuff like that. You know, it was a pretty cool gig. You know, I think it was like $200 for the day, and they catered you. They had catering there, mm-hmm. And you just hung around NASCAR for a couple hours. You know, it's a good way to spend a Saturday. And there was a racer who was named Black Lightning. And I'm like, oh, cool, Black Lightning. Let me see what this dude is all about. And let me tell you what Black Lightning was all about, Marcus. Not winning. Hmm. I went to the Richmond races. I think it was 2 or 3 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Black Lightning was there all 3 years. 1 year he finished last. The next year he finished in the middle of the pack. And the 3rd year he crashed and didn't finish at all.
Does he know Kevin Krieger?
The great Kevin Krieger. Oh, Krieger, please. Yeah, so shout out to Lewis Hamilton. He is the, I guess you could say he's the anti-Krieger.
Yeah, he wins. And probably doesn't make promises about winning.
George Mack, that was the dude.
George Mack.
George Mack, which is another weird black race car driver name.
The Matt Daddy.
George Mack. Oh, man. Like, yeah. Like, really? I don't even know what George Mack is doing these days. Let's take a second and see what George Mack is doing.
He's only 46.
Wow.
Oh, man. You see this line?
Yeah. I think we're looking at the same line. The last thing that George Mack has done publicly, George appeared in an episode of the reality TV show blind date where he dated a girl who referred to herself as Q in reference to the James Bond character. Yeah.
I missed that show so much.
Blind Date was pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
with the little bubble subtitle.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good era for reality shows. You had Blind Date. What was it? Eliminate?
Yeah.
Eliminate was crazy. I really liked Eliminate. But then I think my favorite out of all of those shows was Cheaters.
That still comes on every now and then. They're probably all old, but you can still catch them in syndication.
Yeah. Cheaters was the best. I like the updates that you would hear at the end of every show. It's like, after the confrontation, Yolanda decided to leave Scott, saying she wanted better for her and her kids. After the confrontation, we asked Scott for a comment on the story. He didn't want to talk to Cheaters. Cheaters happen every day. Like, I don't know where the hell they got that theme song from, but Cheaters was a great show.
It was always in the South. It was never in, like, a big city.
You remember the episode where the dude was, like, on the boat and he started stabbing people?
No.
Oh, that was a crazy episode. Like, he stabbed the cameraman and he stabbed the host. I don't remember the host's name, but he was kind of like a bootleg version of Harvey Levin.
Was he arrested?
The guy that stabbed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was arrested, okay. But then you had the guy just like, because you know how he always tried to be super cool whenever stuff would get crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd be like, Joey Greco, that was his name. Joey Greco, the bootleg Harvey Levin. He'd just be like, Joey, you okay? You okay? Everything's fine, guys. Let's just get Tammy out of here. We need her to be safe. Get to the van.
Report, Joey Greco stabbing was staged, and so is Cheaters.
Whoa. Thanks for ruining everybody's reality, Marcus.
Man.
What are you going to say next? There's no Santa Claus?
I just found the clip. Let's see, from 2006, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, went overboard.
Yeah. Wow. So Cheaters was staged. I mean, I always expected it. Did you know he has a connection to sports, though?
Joey Greco?
Joey Greco is a former fitness trainer, and he was on ESPN's hip-hop fitness show, Fitness Pros.
I don't remember that show at all.
You remember, man, I don't remember that particular show, but ESPN was a weird network like in the 90s. Like, they would show wrestling on ESPN, and then in the mornings you'd have like the fitness shows.
Yeah.
Like, you had who was the chick? Denise something or other. She had the first show. Then it was like the next one was this group of fitness people. And they were like, yeah. ESPN was weird back in the day.
Don't you mean Denise Huxtable, daughter of Cliff Huxtable, a.k.a. Bill Cosby?
And that's going to do it for this week on the Kings of Sport. Thank you for listening, everybody. We appreciate the support. Marcus Vandenberg, where can people write to you to express their displeasure with you tearing down Cheaters and other American institutions?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MarcoWill, MarcoWill, Toronto. I'm coming back for you this weekend again. I'm coming back.
Just don't get into a fight with Drake.
Yeah, I need to get back across the border, so I'll behave.
We need to stop the light-skin violence.
Yeah.
Maybe you should take Schmontel up there with you for backup.
I got Waiting and John Pollock.
Yeah, Wei Ting, a bronze medalist in jiu-jitsu.
And it was a blue belt.
Yeah. And John Pollock, who, I don't know what, is he a brown belt?
No, he's not. White, what's the second one? Whatever the second one is, that's what he is.
Yeah. He's not as good as White.
No.
Just put it like that. And it's not because Wade's Asian. Or is it?
I'm not going there.
Oh, but you'll go to Cosby?
You said it, not me.
You can find me on Twitter at @NOZAIK. Follow us both at Facebook.com or on Twitter. See you. You know, messed up the whole flow, Marcus, with your skullduggery and shenanigans and chicanery and other words that people can't readily spell. You can follow both of us on Twitter, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher. Like the show, rate the show. And most importantly, if you enjoy what we do, share the show with your friends. Shout out to everybody during this holiday season. The shows have been picking up in steam and in listenership and in downloads, and we appreciate that. And, you know, we hope you enjoy what we're doing, and we're going to keep it going. Keep it going for the rest of 2014, whatever we got left, 2 weeks.
We got 2 more live shows, correct? The 16th and the 20th, well, when they come out. So the 11th and the 25th?
Yeah.
And the New Year's show will be Best of?
Yeah, Best of 2014.
Okay.
And you may hear some Alfred Cuddle on that show. Maybe. We'll see if we don't violate any contractual agreements. But yeah, that's it. You can also check me out on Pipe Bomb Radio. This week we got a good show with Jacques Rougeau, a.k.a. the Mountie. And next week we got a big show coming up with Kevin Von Erich from the Von Erich family. So that'll be some good stuff if you're into old school wrestling.
Former TNA superstar Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah. Had arguably one of the best moments of TNA last year.
Which is really sad.
Is it, though?
It is.
Is
I mean, no, it's not. Just in case Montavious Schmorter is listening.
Yeah.
It's great.
You're going to mess this up for us, man.
What a great moment in TNA history.
Hey, don't let Marcus dissuade you, Schmontel. The Kings of Sport respects all the people in TNA.
Even Dixie Carter.
Yes, even Dixie Carter. Well, that's going to do it for this week, Marcus. I think we had a good show this week.
I think so.
I feel solid about this. I mean, this was a solid show. I don't think it was our best effort, but, you know, we gave 110%, you know. We left it all out there on the field. Any other cliche you want to throw in there?
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, we're just going to come back out here next week and try hard again.
On to next week.
Yeah, on the next week. And I have no idea who's going to be on next week, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Keep on driving with it to your ribs. Does that work?
It's better than a Cosby joke, so sure.
Yeah. You've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.